Hi and welcome to another episode of the Getting Things Done podcast from Whitewell Learning. I am Morten Røvik, and as always, I'm here with my good friend and colleague Lars Rotskil Hendriksen. Hello, Lars, and privit.
Privit, Morten. Good to see you as always. Good to be with our listeners and viewers out there. We always start off with a quick reminder of the purpose of this podcast, which is to help you learn GTD or become even better GTDers. So we hope that today's episode supports you in that. If you are new to GTD, we always recommend you go back and listen to the first episodes of the audio version of the podcast, episodes 1 through 6, to get an introduction to the basics of GTD. Today's episode is number 108, and we have titled it, I Have Too Much to Do.
Yes, and it's not me, it's Lars, and he has good reasons for why. So Lars, how would you go about framing your problems here?
Yeah, no, so the starting point for this this episode, you know, Morten and I will always brainstorm a bit, and what could we talk about in today's episode. Sometimes we have a clear thing that we want to talk about, sometimes we have listener questions, and sometimes it's just, you know, what's on top of mind when it comes to GTD. And for me, I am part-time back from paternity leave in February. Was planning on having some part-time paternity leave in the months ahead, March, April, May perhaps. And there was a lot of work that showed up in February while I was away. So I had to do some rearrangement, some rescheduling, and trying to move some things around. Then we had seminars each week in March now. And suddenly it became a bit of a challenge to actually, you know, get the right things done, get all of the things done that I wanted to get done. So as I was thinking about it, you know, the challenge initially seemed to be the amount of work and the amount of work that goes just up and down. But I was reminded of a conversation I had with Michael, one of the Danish GTDers who also helps organize the GTD summer camp, talking about the system and the processes staying in sync. And there was always sort of this battle going on between the two. And I thought that was, you know, probably a nice perspective on today's episode as well, that this is really what it's about. It's not really the amount of work going up and down, but more that the system needs to be adjusted to reality and to the processes in place. And it can perhaps be a challenge sometimes to actually take the time to adjust the system when things are moving a bit fast, because that's when you even need more time to actually go in and adjust it. So that was sort of the long intro to what could perhaps be the topic of today's episode.
And I suggest we do it even longer, because I'm going to ask you some quick questions for our listeners to understand what is paternity leave, what does it mean in the Nordic region, and then specifically in Denmark, because we do have a little longer paternity leave than the rest of the world. You have parts of the world where you have paternity leave is 15 minutes, or at least that feels like that. That's not the case in Denmark, is it, Lars?
No, there is a bit more time set aside for you. So my wife's been off for the last month until she gave birth, and then I was there for you have to take the first 2 weeks off just after. There's just no discussion about that. And then you sort of start to align between the two of you. How will you go about doing it? And then on top of that, there is a slightly different approach when you own your own company, because then you can sort of mix and match a bit. And that's what I was planning on doing, trying to have some part-time off as well, and then still staying with the business for the other time. That was sort of the starting point.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not just 15 minutes or 1 week. It's time. And what do you do when then reality hits and you get a lot of stuff to get done? that is the question. So
exactly.
So how if you're going to, I'm not sure, Lars, we didn't discuss this in the pre-show. Have you sorted this out now, or is still this is ongoing at the moment?
Ongoing, but ongoing, I would say, which is also why it was fun to sort of tackle the topic in today's episode, because it's sort of in the middle right now, I think. Let's talk again in a week or a month, see whether I was in the middle or just 5% into solving the problem. Then we'll find out. But now, just to give a bit more sort of detail on the challenge. So I was initially planning on 50% paternity leave in this this month. That becomes difficult when you have 2 day seminars each week, because then you sort of have half a week left, and that half week almost is spent just on following up and preparing for those seminars. And obviously a lot of work took place. There were a lot of requests for GTD seminars, for Crucial Conversations seminars, a lot of interest in that, and scheduling those meetings. Obviously it's not going to work with just a half day in a week to try and fit that all in. So some moving around and some let's call it flexibility in my working schedule has been needed.
Yeah. So if you're going to coach yourself on this, where would you start, Lars, if you want to start to make sure that you are approaching this from the right angle?
And the starting point for me, we spoke about this, we had a trainer meetup as well this morning, we spoke about this as well there, with having room in your calendar. That is also, you know, one of the first places to start when we coach people. If you don't have any time, obviously you don't have time to get up and running with GTD, staying on top of your work and life, actually, you know, defining work, checking some things off, doing your weekly review, doing everything. So the calendar for me was really the starting point again now to be more deliberate about blocking that time for myself. And I've had that over the years, had some time for planned work, have some time set aside for defining work. I had removed that because I did not need it at the time. And this is, again, that example of the, you know, life catching up and process and systems need to stay in sync. So that is one of the things that I'll need to go back to, look at the meetings that I'm scheduling, looking at the time that I need to set aside for myself. That is the first place for me to go. And again, that I think will be many coaching clients, that will be the first place to start. I guess that'll be the same for you.
I probably would have suggested, if this was my problem, is to revisit just briefly my horizons of focus to make sure that how I prioritize, that I do that correctly and according to my plan. So, and I guess you are doing that more or less without thinking that, because you know your horizons of focus well, I guess.
I think you could say that. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you were my coaching client and I didn't know you were doing this as well as you did, I would visit the higher horizons to make sure that you are, you know, your prioritization is correct to and in alignment with your values.
And that's a good tip, and be really explicit about that. That's good that you brought that up. I was reminded recently by an acquaintance, let's say, who often thought back to the first, you know, when he became a father for the first time and the second time, I think, that he would, you know, he would be at the place at the hospitals where you give birth, and he would be sitting outside sending emails, and how he missed that time and not understanding the value in that. So it's very much on my radar to balance this in a way that I think makes sense for me and for all of us.
Indeed. I'm reminded of, and this is getting a little heavy, sorry for that, but it is I read in the newspaper here in Norway not far a long time ago about a senior doctor at a hospice being a hospital where terminal ill patients go, and he worked there for 19 years, and he was asked, what are people regretting at the end of their life? What are they telling you? And he says the normal or the most common reaction of is sorrow over the things you'd never get around to do, and the sorrow of that life did not become what you thought and wished it to be. So, but just now it's now it's getting heavy, but at the same time, it is a little important that, you know, the horizons of focus is the tool that you can use as a GTDer to make sure that you will not end up with that, making sure that the time you spend in your calendar doing what the calendar told you is the most important things. So
this one. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so how are you going to coach yourself into the solution of this, Loris?
Well, I think long-time listeners, long-time GTDers will recognize that good weekly review. That sort of encapsulates the two key things that I will be doing. One being taking more time to think through the calendar, not just look through the calendar. I hope that makes sense. To actually think through and yeah, exactly. Really do that good weekly review kind of thinking of the calendar. To make it clear what can I expect to get done in the specific time frame, and also to make sure that I have enough space that I actually need, because I see that calendar coming up after. So we're recording this around mid-March. There's an Easter break at the end of the month, and then that first week of April, everything will get better there. I just spoke to a good old friend. Said, "Oh, in two weeks, everything get better." And he's been saying that for 2 years, I think, at least. Right. So I need to create that space going forward, and that comes back to, you know, blocking for planned work, block for defining work, and being more deliberate about, you know, for me in this case where I'm trying to take some specific days off, then actually concentrating the work on the other days and really sticking to that plan. I think that's sort of the starting point for me. So calendar, lists, but all of that will be done in a good weekly review kind of focused work.
I'm thinking that what is, you know, the when you say good weekly review, that's normally you go calendar a week back and a couple of weeks in ahead. But I would just, you know, like to add that it is a good idea to make sure that you are having even a longer time frame for this. So look until summer, you know, how do I need to look at my calendar until summer, so I know that I am getting the right things done, making sure I make balance in my life. And it is, you know, I think that one of our worst enemies as human beings with a conscience is our good intentions. Oh, I want to make this. I need this to happen. I want this to be true in my life and true, you know. And I think that is... how will you fight your good intentions because your intention will be to make everybody happy. So what happens if you get a lot of clients that want you and there is not enough time because you're a father in all of this?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the balance to strike. I really want to come back to what you said about looking ahead, because oftentimes, you know, for those of you who are listening and attended a Getting Things Done seminar from us or someone else, the starting point, like Morten said, would be, you know, look back at the last week, this week, and the next week, perhaps 1 week more. And certainly in this case, I'll be looking ahead 1 or 2 months or all the way towards summer, like you said. That absolutely makes sense. And reflecting back sort of also broader, when I see, you know, start to work with coaching clients that need more room in their calendar, more space, they will typically find that it really does take, you know, a month before they will, or, you know, it depends on the client, obviously, but let's say a month before they actually start to feel that they now can actually keep that space for themselves that they set up today. So let's say I wanted to have, you know, 4 hours of, no, let's say 2 hours twice a week that I want to have time for myself and work on the things that I want to work on. Set that up as a recurring block in the calendar. I'll oftentimes find that it'll take a month before they actually find that time, because they're, you know, people are used to just hanging on and stealing from their calendar, or they themselves go ahead and overbook themselves too much. So it'll take time. And certainly for me, with trying to create that space in my calendar for the things that are most important in life, even that will take time as well. I need to balance that out a bit more than I was able to do this month. I think that would be my sort of starting point.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been thinking about while you've been talking is that, it comes back to that. What will be your regrets at the end of life is that people are or I meet a lot of, you know, we meet a lot of people who is who are interested in this, you know, both getting things done and in general how to, you know, how to get things done at all. And one of the things that I meet often, or more often than one might should think, is that I meet people who are in moral ethical squeeze. Because they have not, and I think this is a lot of the things that, and that with moral ethical squeeze, I mean that you are doing some things that not is not in accordance to your values or your purpose, and that, or you are, and that's an ethical squeeze, that you know that your values are not in alignment with what you want to do. And if you do that too much, it will become like a moral negligence of your responsibilities as a father, as a, you know, a husband or a wife, or, you know, this, or at the other end of the spectrum, as an employee, and to create that balance, there's a lot of people who are struggling, and but it is, I just want to place the I wouldn't call it, not the blame, but the responsibility on you as an individual. You have to create that balance. This is your job. This is, I can't tell people, I can't do this because I can't take free to be with my child because my boss don't accept this. Okay, but if you find it valuable and it is the most important thing in your life, why should you go make a compromise around that? Why should you accept that? And I know that this is maybe not a choice in your part of the world, but if you have the choice, make it. Make the right one. Make sure that your decisions is in alignment with your values and your purpose.
And it can certainly be a challenge, you know, like you said at the end, you know, some situations will be different, but in the end, the only person who actually knows that balance with all of the information that goes with it, it is really, really is you. So I find it a very interesting job and task and part of life to try to balance that, really sit down and really reflect on that. And again, focus on the longer time frame as well, because there will be times where, you know, I'm not able to resolve this and balance this within this week. I hope to get towards the right balance within the next month, and then going forward. So overall, in the next 3 months, I will be ideally completely happy with how I spent my time. But that's a sort of the time frame. I find that people sometimes also, because, you know, when you start off with GTD, again, let's say you were just at the seminar, it's very much focused on next actions and what are we doing now and what's in your calendar, and zooming out done. Can some. Yeah, exactly. That's what it said, right? That was the title. But, you know, zooming out and seeing that longer term perspective is just so important to keep in mind. So I know when you try to balance this, so you actually can feel good about that you're heading towards the right place that you want to be with. It might not be right now, but you're working towards it. And that might take some time.
It probably will. One of the things that I find helpful in the process of planning, and this is, I plan my own time as well this way, is that I make placeholders for work and for making sure when I have like need for focus time, I create a placeholder appointment with myself in the calendar. And then you automatically, if you try to schedule a call with me there, it will be automatically rejected because it is always already another appointment there. And I have my booking calendar. I can also make sure that I, you know, if you want to book a time with me, you can, you have an automated calendar. You can go inside and choose when you want to talk to me. And that will only show where I don't have another appointment or my placeholders, which means that it's fairly easy for me to create that breathing space in my calendar, so I can make sure that I'm not overworking myself. Do you use something like that, Lars? Placeholders?
So the booking thing, we use the placeholders I have used before, and something I will probably start to use again to set that up and as a recurring space for myself. That is the intention.
Mm. And just to come back to that, the you need to make sure that you are responsible for you and your own happiness, that you are doing the right things. One of the things that I'm reminded of is that I've been, for those of you who've been looking at this podcast before, there's something missing on my hand before I had a plaster. I think it is called in English, I've had a hand operation. I broke the scaphoid bone in my hand, I think it is called, and I've been in a plaster since December, and it just came off, and still I'm not 100%, but feeling that you suddenly have a lot less capacity, you need to make sure that I needed to make sure that the time that I actually had energy and possibility to work, then I have to, renegotiate all the commitments that could fight for that time. And it is, getting things done is very flexible. You can take, and what I did is I went through my desired outcomes and my next actions connected to them and renegotiated them. Well, not now. This is not the most important things. Put it on my on pause. Decide outcomes and next actions list, so that they're out of my hair and I don't see them when I look at my decide outcomes. That's the decide outcomes I committed to do and bring forward, and everything else can wait or must wait, because at the end of the day and the end of my life, I want to be able to look back and say, hey, I did some good decisions. I made sure I did not work myself into the ground. I made sure that I had a good life, and I created an environment where I can go outside and see the sun and actually enjoy it when I'm outside. I'm inspired by that, because now the sun is coming, the sky is blue, and I love that. So
Now, but I think you're also approaching another topic that I wanted to perhaps revisit as we spoke about this topic, because so what do you actually do in practice? How would you actually go about and do this? There is a change in life in your case that required you to make some adjustments, and then you started to mention this now, that you would move things on pause, for example, to give you the right work in front of you. Could you maybe elaborate a bit more on what you did, because that is exactly the activity that I am already in progress in doing, but also will be focusing more on in this in this week and the coming weeks.
No, what I did is that I looked through my calendar first, and then I had to look at my horizons of focus first, just to revisit them and make sure that I have this my prioritization straight in my brain. And then I went through my calendar, looking at, based on what I know now, what can wait. And then just renegotiated those commitments, and with me, sort of with others and myself. I have things that I've scheduled to work with. I've been very frank and open that sometimes Morten, he procrastinates, especially when there's things that he don't know exactly how to do. So what I do is that I schedule time myself in the calendar, and not too far into the future, but a week, maybe two maximum, to work on things that I need to move the needle on, but that is difficult and need high ability for focus. But then I had to renegotiate that and move that into that commitment into my list system again, so that I don't forget that I'm actually going to do something about this. Most likely there is a desired outcome connected to it, and the next action was then in the calendar, and I just move that back into the lists. That would be the first part, and then I will go and with my horizons of focus fresh in mind, and I will walk through my desired outcomes and work and personal, private, because there is a lot of things I need to get done, but it's not being doing now because my hand is not working. I can't, swinging a hammer is not what I should be doing now, because that will be not very good for me. So also the personal project that has any handyman, Morten Handyman in it, had to go on the the desired outcomes and next actions on pause. And then a next action is talk to my wife that this is going to happen, so she knows a renegotiation of her expectations of what I can actually be delivering on. And then lastly, I would go through my other commitments, for instance, if I needed to as the move from desired outcome active to on pause happens, then I have to renegotiate with the stakeholders around me, like our managing director, and if there was some clients that I need one more week to deliver on this, is that okay? When you do that GTD style, where you are do it before and not when it's you should have delivered, or when you suddenly, I forgot, I have committed to this, panic, what do I do now? And style, then of course the clients are and the stakeholders are. Or, you know, they are not. They understand life happened, and or. I think you will be surprised if you try to renegotiate some of your commitments with some of the stakeholders in your life, how graceful they will be in saying, "Oh, it's not a problem. You can wait a week or two or three before delivering on this. It's not so urgent." It becomes very urgent and very important to you, maybe in your head, more than it is for them. So,
yeah, exactly.
Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Thanks. So I've noted that down. That's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to. No, but that's exactly it. I think the one place where we differ. So just to outline what I was also planning. I have a good inbox right now in my reminder system, but I'll get through that fairly quickly. The place that does need my attention to some extent will be the calendar. We already spoke about that. I'm not that one is not too concerning for me. I think it's more of my projects and next actions that, as part of that good weekly review, I'll go through and then move some things around and that on hold category. And it might mean that I also need some new lists, some new categories that I don't have yet. At least I see that. With the amount of work that I found myself with just before the paternity leave, I don't know if I mentioned this in the podcast, I actually had an empty list. I don't know if I mentioned this. I have to mention it now again. My at work Mac, which is my primary work list, was empty. I had no next actions. It was sort of a scary feeling. Am I celebrating? Am I supposed to be scared and run? What am I going to do? What's happening? But that really was the case. So that, I had really the paternity leave started slightly later than expected, because our son, Victor, by the way, decided to say that he wanted to stay inside for a bit longer. So that meant that then I kept working a bit longer, and that's how I got to that empty list. That then means that when I come back now and I've updated my system and I have everything in there, that simple at work list just doesn't cut it right now. So I know that, with, let's say, probably 30, 40 next actions on my work list, perhaps even a bit more, obviously that's just not going to fit in one list, right? So I'll need to adjust that system to also, again, reflect reality. What I was hinting at before was that I think there is one place where we still differ in how we implement GTD when it comes to using the calendar to block time for specific tasks, because I'm still hesitant to do that. I know you do that. I do that sometimes, did it this morning. It's not that it doesn't happen to me that I block time for a specific task, but I really try to avoid that as much as possible. And I think that's probably from way back when I used to overdo it. And put too much in the calendar. So there's still a part of me that sort of holds back in trying to put too much in the calendar. And then I think I don't know if it's an excuse or whether it's reality, that I find it hard to estimate the specific time I need for specific tasks. So that's why I think also I'm not using the calendar too much. But you find it fine. I guess you're happy with the blocking out time in the calendar, and you're able to estimate how much time it takes.
Well, the way that I suggest that you do this is that instead of I would just need the first. Okay, let me backtrack myself a little bit. Let's go back. So if I have a desired outcome that I need to move on, and that is part of that desired outcome, there is things I don't really know how to do. I know that if I have a prolonged, you know, some time, maybe 1 hour, maybe 45 minutes, maybe 2 hours, maybe half a day, I don't know. But I know that if I give myself that, and I will be able to figure it out as I go along, to get started and moving on something. And I will do this if I have a project that is, that has a deadline that, you know, is getting approaching, and I really need to get that, get my ducks in a row and moving on this, and then doing that scheduling speeds that project up. And I will just define the first next action that I need, you know, and it can be loosey-goosey, because I know that when I sit down, I will figure it out as I go along. And I give myself as much time as I have allocated on that task. And if I then stop because the time is over, if I have another appointment coming up, or I need to take a break, then I would just write down the next action in my lists and then consider that moved on. And then I next weekly review, I will look at it. Do I need more time on this? Should I do the same thing again, or is it okay with the next actions? Just a next action on my list. It is when I need to speed things up, and where I know that there is maybe a lot of moving parts that I don't know exactly how I would do. Sometimes, you know, so some things are easy, where you have a plan and you know how to move on it. But if you don't, then this is the way that I just want to be clear, I never do this long, you know, into the future. But if I need like 3 hours, I scheduled 2 weeks ago, I scheduled 3 hours in my calendar. I have tomorrow, I think it is 2 hours or 2.5 or something, where I have to focus on. I have a keynote for a client, 30 minutes, very speedy keynote on Wednesday. I really want that to be successful. So I am setting aside time to work on that. I don't know exactly what I will do, but I know that when I get started and I go into my concentration bubble, I will solve that problem. But if I didn't put that in the calendar, somebody else will steal that time. But normally I would not do that more than maybe 1 or maybe 2 days into the future. So that's my default MO for this. So make sure that I have 2 hours. I need 2 hours tomorrow to work on this. Okay, then I set aside time, or I need 30 minutes. I just want to make sure that this is the highest priority right now. I have to invoice client X for something, or I need to write a proposal or an offer. So
no, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I still need to play with it, I think, whether I need to still take that same approach, or whether I want to how I want to handle that in my system. I think there is part of the engineering side of my brain from my training back then that sort of said, don't block 45 minutes if it takes 32. It doesn't fit. there's an equation that does not solve. That does not work. There's something wrong. So I think that may be part of it as well.
Yeah. Well, I don't have that problem. Sorry to say for you. I give myself what allotted time I have, and then if I finish before, great, I get some spare time where I can go outside and smell the air outside and feel alive. And if it takes longer, then I have to find out do I have time to work on this longer, or do I need to do it sometime soon and want to set aside time for it, or is it a next action that I can just continue whenever convenient?
That makes sense.
And to get back to my pet peeve all the time, is that you need to make sure that you create the balance in your desired outcomes and next actions lists. So many clients I talked to have felt real, I'm not saying this is your problem, Lars, because I know you have this covered, but a lot of my clients have felt real relief and freedom in making sure that their next actions lists and their desired outcome lists are not too long to create that balance. A few clients says I will have maximum 15 next actions on my at office or at my PC list, and you know, the most used list that you use. If I find myself to have more than that, then one or more things need to go on the paused desired outcome next actions list for just to make sure that you are not overwhelming yourself. So many people I've seen create lists that, you know, you look at them and I saw a list a couple of weeks ago. You know who you are. When I see your list, I want to throw up. I'm very blunt because I can't. This is the lists are going like, I can't eat that. That's too much. That's too much on my menu, and it overwhelms me and makes me nauseous. And because I train myself to have a shorter list and to look at them often and then renegotiate whatever is important right now, I feel better when I look at my list. I feel attracted to them. I don't want just to throw up when I look at them. I feel like, hey, what can I tick off as done today?
And again, it really varies from person to person how long that is, but I recognize that number more and more, and I think probably the more seasoned you are with TTD, the more sensitive you are with that. At least that's a reflection on my practice, both regards with the list, but regards to other things as well. I think, you know, a lot of people will go around and trying to keep 20 things in their head. As soon as I have two, I'm like, yeah, running. Where can I write stuff down, right? So I think we're probably more sensitive to that than your average person.
Yeah, I think that if you want to have a hallmark of a seasoned GTD, as David would say, that they have nothing on their mind, which would be the first hallmark, or if you have nothing on your mind, well done, you are where you are supposed to be. But at the same time, then to be able to maintain that, you need to be sensitive to your emotions. For instance, if you don't do your weekly review, as David would say, it feels like you have dirty underwear on. You start smelling, you know, what's wrong here now? That sensitivity that you're off GTD, the more sensitive you become, the easier it will be to navigate. And I have a couple of clients now, specifically one that finished the coaching with me and are on the follow-up sessions. He has really nailed that down, and he said, I feel so good. I feel so good about my life now. And to be, because I know that if I don't do my weekly review, I will feel like shit. But I know when I do them, I feel really good after. And when I clarify and organize my email, I get no emails in my inbox. I feel I have control of my life. I am. The objective, not the subjective. So it's, I'm not looking at myself from outside, but I'm controlling my work and my life in the degree that I can. And I think that's where we all want to be, to be in that good emotion state where you feel, I have control. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm not doing, which is two parts of the same coin. Know what you're not doing and do what I know what I am going to do and doing. And I feel good about the choices I do because I'm in touch with my higher horizons. I know that what I'm doing is in alignment with that. And I think that's the freedom-focused GTD. The freedom to focus on whatever you need to do. Getting things done could be the solution for you. Now I'm in the salesy Morton part.
Yeah, just going to sponsor by GTD.
Morton. Sorry?
Sponsored by GTD. But that wouldn't be any surprise with the forum that we're in. I think we've pretty much covered everything that I wanted us to touch on. Just hopefully a helpful episode for people that find themselves in a scenario somewhat similar to mine, or it could really be any scenario where you feel you have too much to do. One last note from my end, we touched on it a couple of times, but the weekly review, I find that I need to do it even more thoroughly, perhaps even twice a week now, which is obviously ironic since I, in quotes, have less time to do work. But that is really then even more critical that I then find the right thing to do, right? But it's just, I think when people don't reflect on that, they will just, I have little time, I have less time than normal. I'm just going to do.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to get the right things done, right? So it's, you know, being that smart GTD-er and sitting down and actually thinking things through, setting yourself up to actually work on the right things. And that is what I will be doing in the upcoming hours, days, weeks.
Yeah. That's and I wish you good luck with that so that you can be victorious.
Thank you. Ron.
Yeah, and victorious, I allude, of course, to your son, Victor.
Ah, gotcha.
You didn't take that. I had just.
Too slow. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Do we have an update? I'm sure you have somewhere in your notes on the summer camp, because it's getting closer.
Yes, it is fast approaching. June 15 to 16, gtdsummercamp.com. Mm. If you don't know what we're talking about, as we mentioned before, we have participants from Europe, North America, South America, Asia too now. A lot of people from Northern Europe. Last time I checked, we were at 43 participants, I think was the most recent count. We set the limit to 60 this year. Okay. So not a lot of space left. So for those of you still pondering whether to go, be sure to make up your mind soon. We'd love to see you there. It'd be a lot of fun. Just saw another participant coming from the US. Still so honored that people will fly across the, you know, from the other side of the world to join us for this weekend. It really is a lot of fun. Mott will be there. I will be there. Have some great sessions coming up. We've updated a bit more now. If you go to gtdsummercamp.com, you can see a bit about the program, who's coming, what we'll be talking about. So a quick reminder to head on over there and sign up if you want to join.
Yeah, it's so cool. I love that. Be there or be square.
The other thing that we mentioned, as the cool kids say, we always remind you to head on over to vitallearning.eu as well. Mm-hmm. That is where you can find out more about what we do in the Nordics Plus. So getting things done, crucial conversations, speeches, seminars, coaching, all of that good stuff. Vitallearning.eu is a good place to start. If you are outside the Nordics, head on over to cruciallearning.com to find your local partners.
Yes, and if you are interested in the U.S. and Alaska for having, U.S. and Canada, but of course.
I don't know, something changed since I didn't read the news.
I don't know. No, but the U.S. and Canada, if you want coaching, then it is gtdfocus.com. gtdfocus.com is the place to go. So I have had a few of you guys approaching me here to coach you. And if you're in the US and Canada, GTD Focus should be your first stop. So just to mention that. Are we at the end, I think, Lars?
I think so. You just have that, you said the GTD catchphrase, freedom, focus, getting things done. Now your own catchphrase for the podcast.
Yes, that is. Until next time, stay safe and stay productive. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.